Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to the Juice Dealer, Dope Dealer Radio with Georgette Reynolds. As we're waiting for our host to arrive, so we are 1 week away from leaving Medford to go to Buffalo with the Boy Scouts to be part of Memorial Day dedication ceremony. And in the this radio show and all can't even talk. And all social media platforms is the link, whatever you can, if even if it's only $5, we have raised almost $7,000, but we're 3,000 short of our goal.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Girl, all is well. It has been a long, long week, but we are here and we are excited for the day. Can you hear me?
I'm here. I just shut my mic because I have a new mic. So I've thought
okay.
I have it set. I have a lot of background noise. I have to learn how to adjust it properly.
Okay. How's it going?
It's a going. We're doing garage sale.
We're doing what?
We're doing a garage sale all weekend. And Inga understand why it picks up so much noise.
I don't know. It is a lot of feedback. I don't know. But
yeah.
Good morning, it's your neighborhood juice dealer and dope killer, Georgette. Happy Thursday. Last week, we were talking about detoxing and the steps you needed, the necessary steps to do the things. And that was pretty good. But today, I'm more concerned with when detoxing, are you have to mentally prepare yourself? And I want to know, what's your mental health status? Mary, I'm going to ask me first. Georgette, yes. On a scale of 1 to 10 on this Thursday morning, what is your level of mental health?
Well, I thought it was a 7-8 up there. And then I was in a class yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as good as I thought it was because part of my issue with getting things done, like posted on social media,
mm-hmm.
has to do with your motivation has to do with your integrity and struggling a little bit in that area.
Okay.
Now I get to work more on doing what I'm going to do when it comes to things I need to do.
Mine's about an 8. And I say that because, one, it's raining outside and I'd rather be in my bed. Two, adulting is difficult at times and very ghetto. And I'm just learning to really step back and see what's left and what's in control. Some of the things when we check in on our mental health, a lot of us just operate in it'll be fine, it'll be better, things are working out. And not to say that this is a bad thing, it's a good thing, but there's more to it. There's a science to it for maintaining your mental health. And you have to have equal parts all the way around. And one of those equal parts is your diet, your exercise regimen, your daily routine, the things you're subjected to. What are you listening to? Who's feeding into you? The type of music, atmospheres you're a part of, peer-to-peer group, activities, parents. All of these things play a role in your mental health. And if you're not a person who is organized or structured, then the things around you are not organized and structured. Now, if for the mom raising the babies with the superpowers, we know that there is no structure to your structure, so we get it. But having a routine for yourself will ensure a routine for your children, and then it'll put life in a routine. So when it comes to mental health, let's talk about it real quick. We're still in Mental Health Awareness Month. Shout out to all the people who are fighting hard, desperately, diligently to maintain their mental health in the up and up. As defined by the dictionary, let's read this definition on what is mental health. Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. It also helps determine how we will handle stress, relate to others, and make healthy choices. Let's talk about good emotional mental health for a second. Most women are deemed emotional creatures because we're women, we have progesterone and estrogen throughout our bodies, and this is the reason why we are emotional. But for the person who hones in on their emotions and really governs their life via emotions, sometimes this can be unhealthy because you can't process anything else outside your emotions. I was joking to one of my friends the other day as to why I don't want to operate within the emotional realm anymore, and I wanted to shut down my heart space and only operate in logic. Men operate in logic. It logically makes sense. It's put there, it's put there, and it's clear and cut, and they had it. Men don't normally go off of emotions. Women do. And so maintaining your emotional well-being is being able to express your emotions, but at the same time, not operate in decision-making while we're still feeling those emotions. Feel your feelings. Love on you. Express yourself. Express how things are or how they will be. But don't operate in decision-making with your emotions. All right. For me, I've always been a person, well, I feel, and when you said that, I felt, and you made me feel, and I, me, feel.
So that's I'm going to interrupt you for one quick second. That's okay.
Go for it.
So if you ask the why question, that's an emotional response. If you ask the what question, that's the logical response. So when something's going on or something's happening, you're feeling something, if you ask why it happened, then you, the answers you're going to come up with right away are going to be all emotional reactions. Mm-hmm. But if you ask what happened to cause that, that gives you the logical explanation to understand why you're feeling what you're feeling. And until you understand why you feel that way, you're going to be in a cycle. You can't overcome that emotion or understand or deal with that emotion until you know why you're having that emotion.
For sure. For sure.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense. That's why I said, I was like, no more heart space. I only want logic. But yeah, so now we're operating in that space of being logic. So Mary says when we ask the who and the what, right?
The why and the what.
Okay, the why and the what. Got it.
Like, why did that happen?
Why did this happen?
Why did I get upset?
Gotcha. I've also been doing this exercise. Well, when I begin to operate from emotion, I literally ask myself, are you being truthful with yourself? Right in this moment. We all have played that victim. Oh, like Mary said, I don't know why. I don't know how. But when you sit in your shit, literally, and you sit in it, it begins to be uncomfortable and a bit smelly. So that's you being truthful with yourself. Honoring your truth and being honest with yourself. That there alone is the major step in taking control of your mental health. Let's talk about it psychologically. Everyone does not process emotion or information the same. Some people have different beliefs, different standards, different, just different. And so when you begin to think that maybe this person psychologically is not where I am. There's no high and no, there's no low level, just where I am. A part of you begins to rest in compassion. And you can literally have a conversation with a person, hear them out, listen to their who, what, when, and why, and say, you know, okay, let me process this before I react. Psychologically, they may not be where I am, or I may not be where they are, wherever they are. So then it becomes, it's not like an ego or a bumping of the chest or a mingling of the emotions. Now it comes to, okay, let's communicate. In communication, I remember in college we learned like this little model, and it had like two ends of communication. The person projecting the communication, the person receiving it, and through the middle is feedback. So what I said may not be what you heard based on emotion. And then based on your psychological level. So being aware that everyone is not at your level and you're not at their level will open up a ground for more communication in that space. So then we come to being able to say, hey, you know what, psychologically, maybe I'm not where I want to be, or this, there may be something here. Let's go seek help, counsel, things like that. And these are nothing, there's nothing wrong with this because therapy is amazing and will help you iron out things, clear out old trauma, deal with it or not. And then we get to the social well-being part of it. How are you in a social setting? How do you communicate with your peers? And when you're in a different social setting, how do you communicate there? Are you a social drinker or no? Are you, how can I put this? Are you a part of a neurodivergent family or have characteristics such as? How does being in a crowd or being in a social setting, how does that make you feel? Do you feel like you're your authentic self when you're in these positions? Do you think that you shut down or you're kind of lost? Are you a follower? Are you a leader? And there's nothing wrong with being either one. Sometimes the leader gets tired of leading, and they just want to follow. And sometimes the follower could be a leader. How do you hang on to social cues? Do you understand them? Are you aware of them? Do you do them or not? What's new with that? What comes up when you think of social well-being? Are you forcing yourself to be at the party? Are you forcing yourself to have these conversations? Are you trying to get out of your comfort zone? Or are you overly confident and you're able to talk to any and everybody and you kind of keep the attention on you because that's how you handle yourself in a social setting? Definitely used to be me. If I can engage with everybody, then I'll be accepted by everyone. Then it's not so difficult that I, you know that was me lying to myself. How dare I? So now we have the emotional piece, the psychological piece, and the social piece, and we put them all together. Now this can affect the way we think, how we process information, how we give that information back that we have processed. Did we get our point across? Was I heard? Did I use the right words to express myself? Did I use the right, in the right content and the context? Did I do that? This is another part. If you have the conversation or have the meeting or have the things and then you internalize, did I do this right? Did I do that right? Is that okay? Is that okay? That right there would drive you into a point where you like, oh my gosh, like almost like an anxiety attack within yourself, and all you was doing is just having thoughts. What does that feel like for you? Ways to also help when you get to a point of things affect the way you think, feel, and act, that's imposter syndrome. You become someone different based upon the setting. You become someone who is not true self at all times. This is your disguise. This is how you cope. This is definitely, for some people, a cry for help. This is all they know. So as soon as the brave friend says, you know what, the way that you've been moving is different, and if this is a change you're undergoing, I'm here to help with the process, or I'm here for the process, as long as this changes for the betterment of you. If you change and things started to decline, then we need to take a step back and assess what's new. Also, when we get to the point that we can determine how we are in social settings or around people or how we handle stress and how we relate to others, then we can begin to literally make a healthy mental health life for ourselves. And I say mental health life because your mental health is going to be like your key to unlock everything and put it all together. We always talk about on this show getting your mind right. What does that look like? What is that? That starts with number one, being true to yourself and true to who you are. Number two, the people who are around you, do they build you up or do they tear you down? Are you the most successful person in your group? Are you the least successful person in your group? Either way, it's not a bad place to be, but you have to know how to adjust and be agile. And you can begin to literally change your narrative. Not even the type of person you are, not, you know, all the things religiously, spiritually, not any on that level, because we'll get there. For you today in this moment, I am actively seeking change within myself for the betterment of myself. It's self-season. It's me season. It's my turn. If you've been a people pleaser your whole life that was impassive, that was then. Now you know what? I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be perceived as that anymore. Stress. The way you handle stress will determine your life. And when I say life, I mean your lifespan. I read somewhere, and I talk about this all the time, the number one killer of Americans, heart attack. And that heart attack stems from stress. And 9 times out of 10, it was from a Monday morning. The project is due. The stats are due. We got to move forward and do this, that, this, that, that. And it's like, whoa, I don't even know how I got here. And then the serotonin levels in your brain and the dopamine levels in your brain and the other and I lost the word. The other three processes that are in the brain that levels and balance out the chemicals in the brain that helps you go through emotion, feel it, think it through, process it, have a action plan in it, a reactive time, those things. They don't work properly because you're not handling your stress load. And three, how do we handle stress? What is your stress level? Is it a 10? Is it a 2? And be completely honest with yourself. Maybe it fluctuates based upon events. So in three, we manage our stress level. We do things like exercise. Not a strenuous workout, but exercise. That's jumping jacks, maybe some push-ups, pull-ups, running place, high knee, and we out the door. Those help release different chemicals that we don't need to hold on to within the body, brain first and then the body, so that we can release things out of our lymphatic system. So we don't operate there. When you're stressed out, do you eat? That's the number one thing, too. People who stress tend to stress eat. And they, you can stress eat fruit and vegetables, but that's not what it is, because at that time, our levels are lower in our brain. So we go for the sugars, the carbs, the feel-good foods. And this actually clouds our thought process, and we're not able to think clearly based on the foods we consume. Then the making the healthy decisions for ourselves. Thank Country taught me this. I always love this analogy too. If we're on a plane and there's an emergency, the flight attendants say, secure your own mask, secure your own vest, then help the person next to you. What is that saying? That's saying that if I go ahead and make this decision and say this way and do this way and handle what I have to handle for me, the people around me will reap the benefits of me being happy, healthy, and whole, i.e. your children, your spouses, your significant others, your family, your close friends, then your work, and then your community, and then the world. Battling with mental health is something that people do in silence, and they think that they have to because the "oh, woe is me" is kind of played out in people. But if you really have a need, that, whoa, it's me, I need help, I need salvation, I need healing, I need religion, I need spirituality, I need education, I need food, I need food for thought, literally food for thought. There are foods that can help rewire your brain for you to have better brain function. There are herbs out there for you to take so that your brain can function better. The whole entire scheme of this plan is to be better. Each day that we open our eyes, it's a new day. It's a new mindset. It's a new way. It's a new hustle. It's a new job. It's a new opportunity. Just to be better. Showing up for yourself is one of those things to just become better. When we become better listeners, better communicators, better employees or employers, better friends, better children, even us adult children. And for the parents with the adult children, we become better parents. For the parents with the younger children, we become better parents. With just taking a moment to assess where you are in life right now. Wherever you are in this world, wherever you are in life, I just want you to stand where you are. If you're driving, don't close your eyes, but just kind of be mindful. If you're somewhere sitting, or you're, you know, laying down, that's wonderful. But I just want you to take a deep breath with me. So we're going to start with a deep breath in. Hold that breath in at the top and release it with an open mouth sigh. Beautiful. Deep breath in. Hold it in at the top. Sip in a little bit more air. Release with an open mouth sigh. Wonderful. Last breath in this moment. Deep breath in. Hold it in at the top. Sip in a little bit more air. Keep holding. Keep holding. Keep holding. And this time when you release that breath, release like you are blowing through a straw. How does that feel? If your eyes was closed, you can open your eyes now. If you were still driving, maybe you're more relaxed now. Maybe you slowed down a little bit. Maybe you kind of just looked around the road, or maybe you're just at home and you just looked around. That simple exercise will literally keep you alive. It will keep you from ruining relationships with words that you don't mean because you're speaking out of emotion, feeling. Take a moment to lower your heart rate, lower your blood pressure. A deep breath. Man, you can get some answers done. Ask yourself a question and take 3 deep breaths and then search for the answer. Most of the time, the answer will pop right up at the end of that 3rd breath. And now we have consciously taken it down a notch in our body and put our body in a state of ease. Another exercise that I like to perform, not only on myself, but I tell my yoga clients and some of my patients the same thing. Giving yourself a hug daily and patting yourself on the back and saying, hey, good job. Wherever you are, give yourself a nice hug. Just say, man, good job. Good job. Wonderful job. That is a simple exercise, letting your body know that you're safe, everything is okay. You can begin to release dopamine and start to feel better instantly. And then the last one is looking in the mirror, saying words of affirmations to yourself and ending with, I love you. So maybe you look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, keep smiling. Be brave. I can and I will. Think, do, and be positive. Anything is possible. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. You've got this. You've already came so far. Good job, you. I love you. This simple exercise will start to release chemicals in your brain that helps you function better, that will give you clearer thinking, that will give you the motivation, that will give you the thought process to have the conversation. It will give you the words to have a difficult conversation. And then after we have all the conversations and after we express our gratitude and all the words, then we do the work. I didn't say you were going to be, all this is going to go away today because we did these exercises today. What I said was every day is a practice to be better. Every day that you wake up, you get another chance to strive for something greater in yourself. Every day that you wake up, you get a chance to say, you know what, I could have handled some things different yesterday, but today, if I'm faced with this adversity, I'll be able to handle myself accordingly and walk away with my dignity and my pride, knowing that I was truthful not only to myself, but I was truthful to the party that was at hand. So that's how we begin to be better and gain a better sense of clarity about mental health and the statuses that we're in. For anyone who is out there that is struggling with their mental health, whether it be just negative thinking, thoughts of suicide or schizophrenia, bipolar, ADD, ADHD, all the things. There are people who are out here that are willing and ready to help you. There are 1-800 numbers that you can call. There are centers that you can begin to be a part of. There are Facebook groups. There are clubhouse groups going on. Seek counsel. Seek your own understanding of yourself, because that's the base of healing and where we need to be and go. And when you feel like you have exhausted all of your resources, go inward. Sit with yourself. Sit with those emotions. Sit with those thoughts. Write them out. Read them. Man, sometimes our brain will say some of the most heinous shit to ourselves. And we're like, I said that to myself. I said this about myself. And you have to be careful with the self-talk, because you are listening to you when you speak. Your cells are listening. Your mitochondria are listening. Your organs are listening. The development of just throughout your body, even the development of them, they're listening. So if you're fighting some type of illness or sickness, and you tell yourself you're tired of fighting, you want to give up, you want to get up, for sure everything's going to start giving up. But if you change your mind makes shit real. Like, that is one of the most powerful tools known to man that we possess. We come to this earth with that. You have to be willing to do the work to seek the knowledge for your own self. But we are equipped with a lot of things. Some things are just already downloaded in us via environment. People always say, I'm a product of my environment. Yeah, we are. But you don't have to always be in that complacent space of, I am like this because that's not being truthful with yourself. Taking that blame off of yourself, taking the blame to someone and taking it off yourself, that's an easy cop-out. But when you sit with yourself and really say, hey, there are some things that I don't like about myself, or there are some things that I wish I could do better with myself, or you know what, I'm going to implement boundaries. What are my clear-cut boundaries? Because I don't like feeling like this. I don't like operating in this space. It's chaotic. It's foolish. And I can't quite get my point across. So let me sit in this and be aware of what's going on. Let me really go inward and do the work. And while I'm doing this work, let me add ashwagandha, which is a very powerful herb in helping the brain. Moringa. I think any type of mushroom at this point. There's a lot of mushroom blends out there. I think it's a mushroom blend coffee with like 6 different types of mushrooms. There's also like mushroom supplements that you can consume that really help you with the body. Even to the point of taking magnesium can just help with the body. What do you do for your self-love? Do you go and get your foot rubbed? Do you go and get your body massage? Do you go on a trip for 30 hours to Miami just to sit outside? Whatever that looks like for you, do it often. Take care of yourself. Be mindful that you need you to navigate through this life. Nobody can do you. Nobody knows how you feel unless you express it. Nobody knows how to help you if you don't know how to receive the right type of help, or ask for the right type of help first and then being able to receive the right type of help. Woo! That there. And sometimes, and I know this is the hardest yet most practical thing to do to help yourself, is writing, is journaling, and going back in a couple of months and reading where you are, where you were in that space, and looking at where you are now in this new space, headspace. How was your headspace 6 months ago? We are in the fifth month of the year. My God, we blinked, and we're in May, and we're in mid-May, okay? June is here. January was like 3 weeks ago, as it feels. Energetically, there was a pull on the earth because people are New Year's resolution. They're getting ready. They're doing the Daniel fast. They're embarking on new journeys because it's a new year, new attitude, new mindset, new me. I'm made new. Maybe you got baptized. Maybe you got a new therapist. Maybe you took on a new dietary behavior. All things was new, right? It felt good and fresh to about week three, and the consistency wheel fell off, and life started lifing, and you had to make the hard decisions. And in making the hard decision, instead of you still holding on to the salads and the whole fruit and vegetables, and you reverted back to sugars and carbs. Now your brain kind of reverts back. Now the 10 pounds you lost, you gained 10 and 5 more. A lot of my clients, they always come to me, and the first thing they say, I want to lose weight. And that's wonderful. But I'm not the doctor who helps you just lose weight. Because if you lose physical weight and your intentions wasn't in it, your heart wasn't in it, your mind wasn't in it, and you didn't put in the work, you're going to gain that right back. But if you learn to really go inward, pick up the emotional baggage, go through it, sort it out, wash some of it, give some of it away, donate some of it, you'll realize some of the emotional baggage that you was holding, that stuff doesn't fit. It's not even the right color. Or it's simply outdated and it doesn't serve you anymore. So we get rid of those things. We purge our mind. We purge our spirit. And we get those things out. And we handle those. We body those one by one. Consistency is the name of the game. Everything you have done right now up until this moment is a consistent plan that you had for yourself, and that's how you got here. Wherever you are in life, this is a byproduct of the things that you have been doing over the years. It took time to get here, and now we're here, and it's going to take time to go in the opposite direction. One of my favorite sayings is that only you can prevent you from forest fires. And I mean that in the most literal sense ever. Like literally, only you can save you. If things are in shambles and burning up and all around and things are chaotic, only you can prevent you from that. Be willing to do the work and go inside and see what's for you. Be willing to do the work and say, this is what's going on. Be willing to do the work. Be willing to hone into that and literally do the work. And with all that being said, Mary, we got to take a vow to ourselves to do the work. Do the mental work, spiritual work, physical work, paperwork, the workout. We got to work the work. Because when it comes to it, when it's all said and done, whatever you want, you can have it, but you got to do the work. You must be willing to put forth the effort and love on you and take care of you and then secure the people around you. Or let the people around you go, whichever season you're in. If any of the callers have any questions or need any additional resources, myself and Mary are always here. The mental health crisis is on the rise, and people are suicidal at an all-time high rate. And it doesn't have to be. The signs are there. Things are there. Be mindful, be alert, aware, and know that you are needed in this world. You're valuable in this world. And this world is better simply because you exist. But in the midst of your existing, don't get caught up in things that don't serve you. Continue to strive and be your best self on purpose. And continue to pour into you before you pour into others. And if anyone has any questions or comments, I'm all ears. And if
this country. I apologize and Mary being late for your show. I'm always inspired every time I hear your voice. I want you to offer just a little bit of cliff notes, if you don't mind. We are so caught up into self. Plus, I'm an OG, so they didn't teach us how to take a picture of yourself. You would do good to get a Polaroid and hope you had enough light in the room so everybody could see you. But as we work on, I can do all things through Christ, so you have to have that personal relationship with whoever you say your creative maker is. But the question in the thin line is, how does one work on oneself without being selfish? My girlfriend calls it a spiritual code of conduct, because it's how can you help someone if you cannot help yourself? We're talking about self-care. Mary, when we launched the kindness campaign, we started talking about how people that are bullying are not really jealous of you. They're not feeling good about themselves. So, Georgette, if you don't mind, give us another cliff note on how one can. Now, it doesn't mean you disregard everything and everybody around you while you're working on you, but what does one, what's that thin line between you putting yourself first? Because if you cannot be good to you, they say one's worst enemy is oneself. If you cannot be true to you, even if you lie to yourself and say you wanted those new pair of Nikes and here it is, 2 years later you don't have them. Nobody knew that you lied to you but you. So, Georgette, the question is, how does one self-improve? How does one focus on oneself, focused on your son, without being selfish?
So I think, let's take it, because, you know, I love the dictionary. As a child, my mom made me write the dictionary for punishment. So I love going to the dictionary. So you said selfish, being selfish, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I just want to make sure. So, because I couldn't get it right. All right. As defined by Webster in the dictionary.
Okay.
A person, action, or motive lacking consideration for others, concerned, and this means concerned solely with one's own personal profit or pleasure.
Wait, G. We're smart. We didn't digest it. We heard what you said, but we need to feel what you said. Read it like you was me in elementary school. Read it a little bit slower.
No, it's just saying a person, an action, or a motive that has a lack of consideration for others. Now, I have a friend who recently taught me about levels of consideration. So when we go into a selfish season, most of the time people say it's for a personal gain. You're only doing this for money, fame, whatever it is you want, you're doing it based on what you want. And that's selfish when you don't have the greater good of everybody, like the greater good of overall who would have helped. If you lack that regard, that's considered being selfish. Egotistical, greedy, narcissist, self-centered, those are some of the words that come up. Narrow-minded, self-indulged, self-absorbed, those things. But now, if we change the narrative on those things to say, well, Georgette, you've been a single mom. You've been working. You're a solopreneur. You have three businesses. One of those businesses is starting to fail. What are you going to do now? So now you do have to be selfish. I do need to take my energy away from the other two businesses and put it in the third business so that it can still thrive. Or maybe I need to give it up altogether. Now, when it comes to the content of people and being selfish, it's all about the level of consideration. Did you consider their time, their effort, their input, their thought process, and their mental health? I'm not saying that you need to dumb yourself down to make someone feel inferior to you, but what I'm saying is when you have the hard conversations, when you have the deep conversations, when you're reacting to an action, take that moment to assess their level of consideration. Because if we rest in consideration, a lot of times we wouldn't have arguments with people. A lot of times we wouldn't have disagreements. A lot of times there wouldn't be miscommunications if we only considered the level that they're on and their level of consideration.
That was good, Georgia. That was good. That was good.
Everybody in this whole wide world is growing through something. Whatever it is, it may be the most difficult thing to country. But for me, I can just write it out and say, well, we solved that. What's next? So even the consideration with yourself, hey, I'm not stable right now. Hey, I'm vulnerable right now. Hey, I am emotional right now. Hey, I am angry right now. Hey, I am in a space where I'm at my capacity. I can't. So then it's not selfish when you go inward to seek your own understanding. That's not selfish. It's selflessness, if that makes sense. Remove your old self from it, pour into yourself, and become others. Even when
Georgia,
it comes to people. Yes?
While you're right there, you remember you and Mary and I was having a very similar conversation where we talked about understanding, overstanding, and understanding. You're understanding now. Give them understanding right there while you're talking about that self.
When you begin to understand, that means we go inward and seek our own understanding. Why am I reacting like this? Why does this bother me? What is the reasoning behind this? How can I help myself? How can I help the other person? How can I be heard? How? Why? And I mean, go from like five whys, five hows, five whos, five whens, five wheres. And look at it. Another great tool in helping your mental health and deciphering whether you are selfish or you are selflessness is it just writing things down, writing. Your brain has so many thoughts a day. If you would just write down some of them, you'd be like, damn, I thought that. Wow. Because seeing is believing. So you better write it down so you can see it. But because the only thing that saves us out here is our imagination or that vision. Faith without work is dead. But if you don't have a vision, you don't have any direction. So in this case, be selfish enough with your own shit and sit in it and handle it before it grows to be a bigger problem and you, and people deem you as selfish within your circle, within the world, because that will have a negative effect on you mentally and you won't be able to undergo your healing process and your journey of going to seek your inner under and overstanding. We all have the ability to be the person we want to be. I'm not saying that's being fake. I'm not saying that's not being diligent in walking in your truth. I mean, take it for face value. Sit with your truth. Whatever narrative it is, you control the narrative. Whatever people see and perceive of you, that shit doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is the person that looks back at you in the mirror. The only time
I'm interrupting. Ron, our president, he loves it when I come on and say, we don't really care whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. There's only one you. We've heard the saying, you got the DNA. Nobody has your DNA. Nobody has your footprints. Down here in the South, I have a little saying, ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do, what you do. So you just do what you do. I can't help but keep dropping my granddaddy's cliff note on everybody that I get an opportunity to talk to. He says, son, let me tell you something. Attention, Mary. Attention. When he says, let me tell you something, you better pay attention and you better look him in his eyes. He says, you cannot control what nobody else thinks. You cannot control, oh, I forgot to throw in the social media, they clicked on your like button, they don't really like you. You can't control what nobody else thinks. You cannot control what nobody else says. You can't control what nobody else does. We're talking to you about self-care. They used to tell us in the country, you are what you eat, and that's why we were so overwhelmed, if I can use that term with you, when Georgette stepped onto the scene and said, well, I don't really like kale. She said, well, country, you probably like collard greens or spinach. I said, yeah. She said, well, I don't like cooked carrots. Whatever one thinks, whatever comes off your tongue is the truth. If you say you can't, you're telling the truth. If you say you can, you're telling the truth. But how does one be true to oneself by admitting there is no one that can do what you do, like you do, when you do what you do? But you have to understand in the elementary, you have to figure out that there's something bigger than you. It's not just about you. If you don't figure out that part, you're going to be stuck in the third grade. And if you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in the third grade, you're going to have to go through it all over again. Your spirit will always speak to you first. We're supposed to take the good with the bad. We're supposed to be able to grow through stuff, not just go through, grow through stuff. What did you learn when you did fail? If you've never failed, you've never tried. If you've never tried, you're not even living. Last one for you. We here at the Hope Foundation, we've been serving up hope for lunch, and now we're serving it up for breakfast. It tastes great, and that means in addition to, and it's spiritually fulfilling. But what is it we do? We help you I didn't say we compete with you. We complete you. We help you do what you do in the areas that you may not have knowledge, expertise. And they told me it's not what you know, it's who you know. We're connecting you to the Hope Collection. Who is that? We call ourselves Super Friends. We've taken the best of the best from the North, the South, the East, and the West. Mary's way up in Minnesota. I've never met her, and she became my best friend. Georgette, I only met her 2 months ago. She's down here in the dirty, dirty South. We don't mind. But we got Lynn Kane. He's the top gun. He's the International Humanitarian Man of the Year. He's only been nominated 5 times for a Nobel Peace Prize. He's way in California. I've never met him. But I've been on the radio with him for 10 years. Now, why am I telling you all of this? It's not what you know. It's who you know. We got super friends that are super kind working together to help bless humankind. When I say we're allowing every single person to love their best, can't nobody love like you. But when you put all of our love together, guess what? We just form one nation under love. And it needs no interpretation. Love, it is what it is until it ain't. So if you come in and love your very, very, very best, well, absolutely anything less than that is absolutely unacceptable, then we want you to know that when you love your very best, you're walking in the spirit of obedience. Yeah, obedience. Which means that now you help people help other people. Interpret for them, country boy. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Are you to be a blessing by showing up? And that way it allows all of us to do extraordinary things on ordinary days, even on a Thursday morning by our last one, empowering you, enlightening you, enhancing your life, encouraging you. Why? Because we're in the information stage, and information stage and knowledge is power. Georgette had to get down and dirty with you and go to Webster Dictionary. So if you don't know, ask somebody. We're here to help you. Why? Because we care enough to share enough information with you so that you know what you need to know in order to be able to grow. Last one, last one. We want you to practice it. We've been telling the kids to practice. We want you old people to practice too. Do what, country? Practice doing unto others before they do unto you. Because when you give some love, some hope, and some kindness away, and some juice, eventually it will come right back to you. Because what the world needs now is health and nutrition and love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Back over you.
Thank you. Go for it, Mary. I appreciate it. Everybody who's here today, who listened, learned, took the vow to take over your mental health today. If you or somebody is suffering with your mental health, there are 1-800 numbers. I have a website. Mary is a hypnotherapist. We have Reiki healers, therapists, doctors, yoga instructors, art therapy. It's a something out there for you. And with all that being said, before we go out of here, let's all take a deep breath in. Hold it in at the top. Release it with an open mouth sigh. Woo, happy feeling. Deep breath in. Hold it in at the top. Sip in a little bit more air. Release with an open mouth sigh. Last breath as a family. Deep breath in. Hold it in at the top. Sip in a little bit more air. Keep holding. Keep holding. And when you are ready, release like you're going through a straw. beautiful. Until next time, friend, take care of you. I love you. You are important. You matter. You can and you will be bold today and be better today. Signing off,
that's,
neighborhood do still and don't
awesome
kill.
Juice. That's awesome juice. That's awesome juice. That's awesome juice.
Thank y'all so much. Peace.